Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome to Streaming Star Wars. Nick, how are you doing, buddy?
I don't know if I'm at it. I don't know if I'm adequately prepared to answer that question, Pete.
Well, the most important question is, do you have alcohol nearby? Because
I have a lot of alcohol nearby, and I'm going to drink all of it tonight.
That's excellent. We had a little bit of technical difficulties getting started, but that's quite all right. Nick, we are coming off a ridiculous episode of Kenobi. We have people waiting to hang out in the chat and talk to us about that show. Before we get to everybody's thoughts on it, Nick, how did that episode strike you, dude?
Honestly, I've been processing it since Wednesday, which I know is only the day before yesterday.
It feels like a week ago, though, doesn't it?
Like it feels like a week ago. Yeah. And I think that's a testament to this storytelling, because we've said, you know, before, we've talked about the moving of the dates from Wednesdays to Fridays.
Yep.
We're still waiting 7 days, but for some reason, the middle of the week, doing this show on a Friday, instead of having to wait to watch it on Friday, then do this show Friday night, and then wait 6 more days, I get to watch it Wednesday, I get to think about it, we get to do the show. But I think a testament to it is that for it to feel like it was last week is just, it sticks with you. It's good storytelling, and I know we're going to get into all of that with Scotty, and you know, the whole reason we're digging in tonight is just to get into some of those finer points. But I'm loving it. I mean, I'm truly, every episode has been, it just has gotten better to me every time.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think that it's interesting, and we'll talk about this with our special guest, Scotty Jaro from the Bombad cast in just a minute, but it is interesting, and I said it last week, I don't ever really sort of think of these as one episode at a time. I feel like it's an extension of the story, which is a very different feel than Mando or Book of Boba Fett. And I also feel like this show has benefited more from a second viewing or third viewing every single time. You know, we do have a very exciting and fun guest this week. And why don't I just stop rambling? We'll just bring in Scotty.
Get him in here.
What a great video. Are you kidding me? That was amazing.
Scotty, how you doing, buddy?
As you can tell, this is not my usual setup, and y'all have been on my show several times to know this is not my usual setup, but Boba Fett's here, Rick McCallum's here, my microphone's here, and a nice, wonderful bottle of sake is here as well. My power went out we're right now in Louisiana at 7 Central Standard Time. My power went out at 6:48, and I had just wrapped up an episode of Stranger Things, and like, you know how eerie that show can be, right? And literally, I'm not kidding y'all, boom, like the second the episode ended, I'm like, are we in this? Like, is this
you're
real
in the
life
upside
right
down.
Now? Yes.
It's pretty
but anyway,
wild.
I'm doing fine, boys. I'm glad to be here as always. Two of my favorite people. I know we've worked a lot together. And, you know, we have a lot more to go through in the future as well. So happy to be here to talk about this episode in particular.
Excellent. Well, we do have I'm going to steal Nick's thunder here a little bit, because I know Nick is also operating off a phone like you are. And I just want to mention just a handful of people hanging out with us in the chat.
Please.
We got Matthew. We got Jeff Q, who's with us. Brian Fennessy. We have Dale Erdman hanging out with us. It's been a while since we saw you, Dale. Good to see you again. Half Moth is with us. Rare Curly AJ. And Nerd Herder is in the house. So we got, and that's just to name a few on the list. And it is tradition here on the Streaming Star Wars show, a tradition that goes back a millennia. And that is toasting not only to the people on the screen, but the people who are hanging out with us in the chat. Happy Star Wars, everybody.
Happy Star Wars, and may your internet be better than mine.
Hey, you're connected pretty good right now, I'm going
to
be honest.
Well, it's like you. I came out to the studio 20 minutes before we started. I was going to run through the news. I was going to talk to Pete for a minute. Yep. And Pete said, it looks like the N64 version of you right now. And I don't know what's happening. Like, our internet is jacked up. It's a little stormy here, but it's not what I would consider bad. And we pay for the good internet, and we have, I'm hardwired in. It's not working tonight. So I am also on my phone through the magic of Apple and wired headphones and microphones and whatnot. So
I feel like I should be on my phone just to stick, you know, keep the theme going. But
one day this is going to live in the legend of ATGcast as the last show.
Yes,
it will.
But so why don't we just jump into the episode, because, you know, it's, I think one of the points that Nick, you made as we were coming in here is that it does feel like a week or two ago, and it's only been a couple days. Scotty, why do you think that is? Because first of all, let me say, do you also kind of feel that way? And if so, why? What do you think is going on with the show that makes it feel like it's been with us for a while?
I think it's because a lot of it comes down to expectation and what we've been waiting to get from the show. And ultimately, I don't think it was what we were expecting. And I mean that in the best way possible.
Yep.
We knew we were going to get a broken Obi-Wan Kenobi. We knew that was part of the experience. But to kind of fall in love with a couple of characters I didn't expect to fall in love with has been really nice, like Tala or even Reva, who I didn't like at all in the first couple episodes. Like, I didn't care for her literally at all. But this episode was one of those ones where it switches. The flip switches. And like the switch, you know what I mean? It just changed everything. It was great. Yeah. I get why she's so motivated now. And even part of this story has to come down to the fact that it's something that I never expected we would get. You know, when they announced Disney was coming back, I knew the first storyline they would tackle is the Luke Han Leia storyline. Mm-hmm. I never thought we'd get a Ewan and Hayden storyline ever again. It's really well done. Really well done.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the interesting things that you just said there too is you didn't like Reva at the beginning, for example.
At all.
But now you do. And I think this is an example of, and that's obviously a much a different perspective, but a point that's worth making is this episode. One of the things about this episode, so first of all, full on spoilers. If you haven't seen the episode, why are you here? We're glad you're with us. But boy, oh boy, you probably should have watched it. But I think one of the most important things about what you said there is that's kind of a proof point of patience being required for this series and for this show. You know, I shared with you guys the other day, my buddy across the street, who I go to see all the nerdy movies with on Thursday nights, his feeling like this show isn't doing it for him. And it's because he wants that Clone Wars Obi-Wan, that Obi-Wan that we expect, that great warrior Obi-Wan. And I think the reason I love this show so much is because it's really, it's taking its time to tell the story of a broken man, as opposed to, you know, I feel like a way they could have told this story would have been in episode one, he gets his groove back and now let's go kick ass. But that would not have been as exciting a show or as interesting a show long term. Nick, how do you feel about that? Do you think, you know, you and I have talked a lot about patience with this show. Where are you coming down on that?
I came into it, as much as I love this character, as much as I loved the idea of this story, I did come into it with pretty low expectations. You know, of course, I thought we have to get off Tatooine at some point. You know, he can't sit there for six episodes and, you know, hide out in the sand.
Yeah.
But I think coming into it to get Reva early on, like, I was on board for Reva from the beginning. I didn't slow to warm up to her. I liked what was happening. I feel like, especially when we picked up at the premiere, and actually it was in Scotty's hotel room after the premiere was over with, and we came back to do a quick little bombad spot. That was when all the light bulbs came on that was the youngling that we see in the clear first opening shot. As soon as that connection hit for me, I was full in on Reva, whatever this story was going to be, because it's the story of abandonment. It's the story of, you know, the way she was treated by the Grand Inquisitor right off the bat. You know, you're from the gutter, you're below us, you're beneath us. That's such a powerful driving force in a narrative of a character that I couldn't wait to see how were we going to weave that in with Obi-Wan. I didn't initially think it was going to be what we've gotten with, you know, her, you know, the vengeance for Vader.
Yeah.
For Anakin. And I think, Pete, you were probably the first one that kind of called that, that it stood out in my head. And I love the way they've taken that. I don't know if this gets to the point of what your question was. I got sidetracked there for a minute. But but yes, the where we have started, I really do. I really don't have any complaints. I really am thrilled for what we have gotten.
I think, I think that's a fair point. And yes, I did call it based on the Reva poster right away. And I need to make sure that I get all my credit, all the credit due to me. And I want to make sure people know it. No, I mean, but it is interesting. And I think telling that story is a very, very unexpected, I think, from the get-go. Although, you know, it does feel like how it got to where it is, or rather where it ended up at the end of this episode, was a little bit surprising as well. Mm-hmm. So
I agree.
Scotty, did you want to add something to that?
Well, one thing I would like to add overall is this episode. I think a lot of people had been waiting for an episode like this. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what episode it would be. You know, people really thought, and I was one of the many that thought the back to tank scene from part four was the one we were going to get the flashbacks. Right. And I was a little disappointed when we didn't get that, in all honesty, but they waited for the best episode to do it. They waited for the cat and mouse aspect of Vader and Obi-Wan. Right. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. you got to see why those flashbacks meant so much to the story being told. And it was probably one of the best and most interesting forms of storytelling I've seen in Star Wars. It was compelling. It didn't have the whole TLJ false memories thing. It didn't have the predictability of the Boba Fett back to, you know, flashback.
Right.
It kind of would just cut pretty quickly between the past and the present, and even Revis past as well, which was really interesting. So those were things that really kind of set me off. I loved it for that reason.
I think one of the key things about that scene, about the attack of the clone scene, or the pre-attack of the clone scene, which I think is important too. I think there's a couple things about that that are really make it so valuable and so interesting. So first of all, it has to be sometime before they met up with Dooku, because he had his hand, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. People are convinced he was staring at Padme's palace. I'm not sure he was. I think he may have just been meditating or doing whatever Anakin did. But I think the thing that makes this so great, And I was texting with you guys about this before, is that it literally each step of that duel is that episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you could get the story that was delivered from this episode either by just watching the duel or just watching the current time, the mm-hmm. Obi-Wan series time, because every single step was repeated. And you know, I thought I was sort of noticing that the first time, but when you watch it the second time, you realize right down to the arrogance of Anakin, you know, being, you know, you're defeated, master, and that sort of thing, and then saying later, we already have Obi-Wan, and he didn't, right? And then the need to be victorious outweighed his need to show off, essentially, outweighed his need to win, and it ended up causing his loss in both tracks of that episode. So that was what I took. Why did you guys take similar thoughts from that?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And I had a couple of things that I wanted to tag onto it, just kind of based on what you were saying. I do love, and Scotty, this is what you were hitting on. I love that Star Wars, and especially newer Star Wars, doesn't get stuck in a rut. It doesn't keep doing the same thing over again. It's subverting expectations every time. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, Scotty, we could have easily done, okay, well, we got the device of the back-to-tank flashback in Book of Boba Fett. We could have gone right back to that and done it again. And it could have caused side effects like diarrhea and flashbacks, as Brian said. But they didn't do that. They took the flashbacks and made them a more traditional flashback, but still used it as a story narrative arc, which I also think is neat because it pairs with what I know you've been tracking, Scotty. The first five episodes mirror episodes 1 through 5 in some way, shape, or form. And so they found this story structure where they're mirroring, which, of course, we used our favorite George Lucas cliche, it's poetry, it rhymes. I love that they've subverted these expectations in that way. I love that the story of the battle in this episode was not, I'm going to beat you with a lightsaber. We joke all the time about, you know, the Boba Fett tattoo versus the Boba Fett that we get.
That's right.
It wasn't just a brutalizing, hardcore action. We get action. We get lots of good action. Deb Chow does action really well. But we get the chess game. We get the this part of it. We get the mental aspect of it. And comparing it to the flashbacks, comparing it to the lessons he learned, which I think ties into one of the maligned quotes that everybody's been worried about so much. The last time I saw you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master. Yep, this is what that means. He's not a master yet. Obi-Wan still has the upper hand at this point.
And they they pounded it home when Obi-Wan says, until you realize that a Padawan you will be. And this was like, you know what? Vader may be a badass now. He may be 10 years into
but it takes
the armor,
being a badass.
But he's still a Padawan. He's still learning.
Right.
And so he's still learning. And even if they don't meet in part six, but we'll talk about that in a second because they're going to meet in part six.
Even
if they didn't, that's a great way to leave that hanging. When I left you, I was but the learner. Mm-hmm. Jeez, I was still learning. You taught me before Attack of the Clones, and then you taught me during the Kenobi series, and I didn't get it either time.
Well, so, and I love the – go ahead, sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love the line that he says in that flashback that is very Yoda-like, where he talks about your obsession with winning. Mm-hmm. It's going to be your undoing or whatever it is he says. The other thing that I just wanted to throw in very quickly, and then I want to hear from Scotty again, is the other thing that I've noticed, and I want to also give a shout out to our friends Alden and Michael in the episode of Octo Radio that was on yesterday. I listened to it last night.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Alden, they kept talking about something that had already been running through my head, and the phrase that showed up eventually and bubbled to the surface in my mind was show, don't tell.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Star Wars has always done well, and Star Wars is continuing to do that well. We don't have to get a bunch of expository dialogue that explains everything that's happened so far. This is where we are. They're just jumping in and showing you. Here's this Inquisitor. Here's this Third Sister. Here's this. We're jumping into the story in process because that's what Star Wars does, and we get to figure it out along the way.
Taking back off, Nick was saying, this show has done a really good job at showing, not telling, because it took a while for those flashbacks to build up. It took a while for a lot of things to kind of build up and, you know, go to the way they were supposed to be. And one thing I wanted to reiterate in terms of what this episode's done, at least for me personally, it's made me appreciate A New Hope more. And like, and you know this, I grew up watching the original trilogy. Yes, obviously all of us did. But I had watched it so many times that as an adult, I'm like, I'm tired of watching those movies. I'd rather watch the prequels over and over again, which to me have a little bit of a different, you know, aesthetic to it, obviously, but appeal to me as well because they were my version of Star Wars. So It's so cool to see this connective tissue, like Nick was saying, you know, when I left you, I was with the learner, but now I am the master. That moment is great, but it hit me even harder hearing that. Now knowing that whenever Vader does kill Obi-Wan, he's still the learner because he knocks him down and all you see is that cloak fall. And he's,
great point.
And you know how awesome was it that he went up to it and he touched it and stepped on it and he's like, ooh, like he does, I'm still the learner. Like no matter what, he always has this one little step ahead of me. And you know, one thing is to be said. Earlier in the season, we got a lot of this series. You got a lot of mentions of Qui-Gon, and I'm waiting for that next. Help me, Master. What do I do? I'm hoping we get a little bit of a divine intervention there in some capacity.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We asked the Star Wars universe, the people hanging out with us on Twitter, Will Qui-Gon appear in the final episode? We asked their answers could be yes as a Force ghost, yes, but just his voice, and no, he won't. Only 10% of people don't believe he will show up, 10.7%, and 51% say yes, he'll show up as a Force ghost, and a surprisingly high number at 40% almost say just his voice. What do you think, Scotty? We're not at the prediction point, but you think he's coming in full
on? I'm shocked one character we haven't gotten was Yoda in some capacity. At no point is Obi-Wan trying to reach out to Yoda. Even we saw Ezra reaching out to Yoda. So that's one of the ones that kind of have surprised me, because you have the technology now to make CG Yoda look like absolutely perfect. But all that being said, Qui-Gon, yes, Qui-Gon's 100% showing up. You know, he came and did a voice for The Rise of Skywalker. And then, of course, what was it, like a year later, he was like, people still watch Star Wars? That stupid voice. I'm like, okay, bro. You literally just, Hayden, even Ashley Eckstein, like a ton of people were in a booth at one point recording for Star Wars. You know, it still makes money and people still watch it.
Well, so, he's doing a voice for that Star Wars Tales of the Jedi, right? So
yes. Yeah, so he's literally coming back.
He's back in the fold, right? So
come on.
But so there were a couple things about this particular episode that I thought were really interesting and really kind of tied together some of the different things. I think it was interesting if you watch, somebody put a supercut together and said, you know, it's a 4-second supercut, but showing the same fighting style between Anakin and Obi-Wan from Battle of the Heroes and that was reconnected. There was also a scene the scene at the beginning where he's standing on the bridge, and it's mirrored exactly by Ahsoka in Clone Wars Season 7. Did you pick up on any other sort of direct connections?
In terms of connections, that's one thing Nick kind of paralleled to. I did point out on Twitter, and it was part of it was a real deep realization that I had, that like every episode of this show has echoed Star Wars, even the saga movies. And I'll just do a brief recap to kind of get everyone else caught up who hasn't heard this or thought about this. But part one, you know, obviously the Phantom Menace parallels to the fact that Leia is a 10-year-old and she's destined to do greater things. And we got that, right? We literally got that. Attack of the Clones, part two, you got Obi-Wan literally on a quest, you know, looking for something, looking for someone, which is what happens in Attack of the Clones, looking for Jango, and he's on a city planet, just like Coruscant.
Right.
Part three, which is the most interesting one, you get the showdown, you get the Vader, you know, Battle of the Heroes showdown and Revenge of the Sith. Then you get that same exact showdown, but reversed, where you know that Obi-Wan ends up getting burnt instead of Vader. Someone's getting hurt in that capacity. Part four, A New Hope, you've got, and this is really the most straightforward one, rescuing Leia on, you know, Fortress Inquisitorious. But this is the one I'm like, I really sat there after, I'm like, how does this parallel Empire? And it clicked. And there's a certain shot, too, that everyone should go back and look at. There is a certain shot in part five where we get Vader storming a secret base, which is literally what happens at Echo Base, right?
Yep.
There's a certain shot of Vader's shoulders walking this way, walking a certain direction, and it looks just like it does. Just like it does.
It's funny you say that. I picked that up on my second watch. I was like, that's the entrance into Hoth, into Echo Base, 100%.
And then shoulder.
And it was also timed so that it was when he was trying to stop a ship from getting away from him.
He got away with it. He thought he got away with it.
Yep. It's really interesting. And I think so. There was another piece of the story or of the presentation that actually, to me, touched on the sequel trilogy. Oh. And I found it somewhat interesting, and I may be reading too much into it, but the scenes where Reva and Obi-Wan are speaking between the duels.
Nice beat.
I like to believe that some of that is some sort of force connection, right? Mm-hmm. Versus just straight up talking through the doors, because it's quiet. It's an intimate conversation, just like the Rey and Kylo conversations, extremely intimate, exploring, like, because he finds a spot in her mind that pushes her over the edge. Because she was being very strong. She was being very careful not to give away anything, to tell the story her way.
Yeah.
And he found it and she shut down and went at him.
God.
Which was very much like Rey and Kylo trying to, you know, Kylo constantly exploring her brain. So, so I thought that I made that connection. Am I reading too much into it? Or do you think there was some sort of connection? Yeah.
That's the thing, because at least to me, when I watched it, that it kind of also in its own right had that sequel trilogy feeling where you're watching it and you're like, how does this end up falling into place? Right. Because you watch sequel trilogy, not saying you know where the story's going when you were watching it when it was new, but a lot of it's like, how does Reva play into all this? And that moment, you know, that moment did feel a little bit like the Force Connect, the Force Skyping that we got in the sequel trilogy. Yeah. And in particular, the fact that it triggered a memory for Reva, which was the memory that she, you know, experienced Order 66. And to hear Ewan McGregor say, Order 66, like he knew in the night of Order 66. I'm like, what a moment, right? Like, what a huge moment to hear that out loud. We've watched it as Star Wars fans the past 5 years now, just content after content after content, dropping that moment again. And this is the one that might have hit the most, because we had always, and this is something that I'll say to my generation, that's the unfortunate thing, is we grew up in a little bit of peace. I guess all of our generations have done this. We've taken Star Wars and made jokes of certain things. And the one thing that people have made jokes of, which is kind of weird now in this climate, is that, you know, the part where he walks in and he ignites a lightsaber and little kid steps back. And we've all kind of made like, oh, wow, what a dark boy. That's so creepy, you know, so edgy. But then you see it and they twist a little bit and it's him physically stabbing a little child. You're like, that's something we always kind of joked with.
Yeah.
But that's something to not be joked anymore. And unfortunately in America, for those that are watching, that are watching us in America, we had to get a warning on our screen that this may trigger some people. And that was an unfortunate realization as well. But the reason I bring all that up is because this show has had the opportunity to go kind of that sequel trilogy route. Not saying that those movies are predictable, but this show has done the unpredictable with characters I thought that were already so predictable. Makes sense?
Certainly the biggest challenge walking into this. I mean, I had said, and anybody who knows me and listened to the show knows, that my feeling when I heard about the Obi-Wan series was, do we need this? I mean, we know his story, or at least in our mind, hey, your power came back on. Congratulations. we know this story. So to tell this story and to tell it in a way with characters we didn't expect to see, with, you know, telling this particular moment in time in the story is pretty wild. Nick, you're back with us. Thank goodness. We were
maybe. I'm trying my very best. Can you hear me okay? I know it's not ideal.
You sound good.
Can you hear me?
You sound fine. Yes.
Your phone died? Is that what happened?
It overheated. I had it sitting on the little digital or the connection charging thing, and it overheated, so it just shut off.
Wow.
Not my night, guys, but I'm here. We're persevering.
That's quite all right. So we were talking as you came back on about sort of the connection between Reva and Obi-Wan and how it's connected to the sequels and the way they delivered that scene. And then as Scotty was just talking about it, and I remember when we were all sitting together. Well, we weren't sitting with Scotty because he was too cool to sit.
We're in the same room, though.
You're all in the same room. Yes, I remember when the show opened and they're panning down and I saw younglings. I literally, it's one of the rare times I said something out loud. This is why I don't do reaction videos, because my reaction videos would be just me watching. But I literally out loud said, oh no, because I knew here it comes. And to your point, Scotty, in today's climate, Order 66 is real. And it's difficult, which is why when a bunch of internet assholes say they want to see more Vader killing children, it's disgusting. And it's because the story is dark enough without that, without seeing that. And when you do see Vader choke a kid, snap a kid's neck on Mapuzo, it is much more powerful, much more impactful than if that's all he did. Nick, do you want to add anything to that?
I agree, and I really just think that more than anything else, I think they've continued to lean into developing these stories without shying away from those difficult moments. And we talked about it, you know, in the third episode, Darth Vader breaks a child's neck and drags a woman through the street and drags Obi-Wan into a fire. They don't cut away from the camera of that.
Right.
In the prequels, in Sith, like the lightsaber starts, the kid steps back, and then we know what happens. We don't get all of that.
Right.
But they're doing exactly what they need to do to set up to help us understand where Vader is, where Obi-Wan is. That's a, as big a part of it as anything. The PTSD that Obi-Wan Kenobi continually deals with from Qui-Gon, Satine, Anakin, this situation, like everything about it continues to flesh out human stories, continues to flesh out real connections. And I just love how well they've threaded the connections between the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. And every little bit of it is a nod to something that either Scotty knows or you and I know, because we're of those different generations. You know, Obi-Wan in the hiding in that hallway, and he does the noise thing with his fingers.
So cool. Yeah.
That was one of those things where I said something out loud. I was like, he did the thing. Like, because that's Obi-Wan on the Death Star when the two guys, you know, did you hear about the new whatever, whatever? And he does it. What was that? Probably another drill, you know, whatever it is that he says. As a little kid, I thought he said maybe it's another girl, because they captured Princess Leia earlier in the movie. And I thought, there's no other girls. It makes sense that they'd be surprised that maybe there's another girl here. That was a kid. I was dumb. But the point is, they've done such a good job with this kind of storytelling and pulling these little threads and elements to weave it together into something that we're going to look up at the end of next Wednesday and go, oh my God, look what they did. You know, you can't judge it until it's over with. Raven. Right. Hello, Raven. You can't judge it till it's over with. And that's everybody's favorite Star Wars game, is to go, I saw the first episode and now I'm mad. There's five more, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Let's wait. Let's see what happens this next week. And then decide if we're mad, because we still shouldn't be, because it was something you got that nobody asked you for. I love it. I'm living with it. And it really, I love the connecting points. I guess that's the bottom line of what I'm trying to not quickly answer.
Well, let me drive off of connecting points, because I want to get both of your opinion on this. And I think I might have said it last week. I don't recall. But this is, for my entire time as a Star Wars fan, I grew up with Darth Vader before the Anakin story. And even with Clone Wars, as great as Clone Wars was and as fun as the prequels were, I still could never, you know, I never made a direct connection between Anakin and Vader, right? It was always, it was Dave Prowse and it was Hayden Christensen. They were two different characters. Yeah. However, the Mapuzo scenes and the scenes from this latest episode have blended Vader together. So first of all, Scotty, as a Clone Wars kid, as a prequels kid, how was the Vader Anakin connection for you? Was it always easy to make that connection? And if so, or if not, how has this episode or has the series changed that?
That's one of the best questions I've heard about this show for this reason, because I have a very fond memory of this. I remember watching The Revenge of the Sith, and you know, you're a kid, right? I was literally 10 when that movie came out, but I watched that trailer as a little 9-year-old. And I remember watching it, and like, I didn't make the connection that Palpatine, Senator Palpatine, Chancellor Palpatine, was inevitably going to be Emperor Palpatine until after watching that trailer. And it clicked, right? And I know that's so stupid. I had the visual guides from Attack of the Clones and the Phantom Menace, and I had the original trilogy visual guide. I have it in my office right now. I can pull them out. But as a kid, I didn't make that connection at all until after watching that Revenge of the Sith trailer. And then, of course, seeing that movie in theaters, it was one of the greatest. And I'm sure you could both speak to this as fans of this franchise for such a long time. That was one of the most incredible tie-ups of anything I've ever seen, where you saw, you know, Palpatine become Palpatine. You saw Obi-Wan kind of become Obi-Wan in a weird way. And you saw Vader or Anakin finally become Vader. I thought it was done well in the films. And I still hold that same feeling. If we didn't get this series and we didn't have the series up until about 4 weeks ago, I still would have held the same exact feeling about it. But now that we've gotten this, it's so much more fleshed out. I understand Obi-Wan so much more. I kind of get why, in a weird way, he manipulated, you know, Luke, and one thing they still need to tie up, and I don't know if it's going to be this show that ties it up or if they do have plans for a second season, whatever they want to do with it. They need to tie up why Obi-Wan in A New Hope is so convinced that he needs to get Luke to kill Vader or stop Vader. Because that is not a – it's the more machine than man now comment that gets me. I'm like, he – at some point in this next episode, this finale, there has to be a confirmation truly why he wants Vader dead or why he needs to, you know – go on his journey. I don't know that.
Yep. That's no, let's hold on to that for when we get to the predictions. Because I think we need to see some of those connections, and there's a handful of things I think that are still out there. But what about you, Nick, as it relates to the Vader Anakin connection? Is this Anakin in the suit now still for you, or is it just Vader?
I am of a mind that, and you know, you and I are much closer in age, Pete. I had to laugh when Scotty said he was 9 in the Phantom Menace trailer because I was 19 or 20. And I know, Pete, you're just a little bit older than me, not a ton. But, you know, as an original trilogy kid, like, because I didn't know growing up the Hayden Christensen Anakin Skywalker, all I knew was Darth Vader used to be this guy, Anakin Skywalker.
Yep.
And then until you get to the end of Jedi in the unspecial editions and you have Sebastian Shaw as the hologram, you know, image at the end. For me, Vader and Anakin have always kind of just been like, okay, yeah. So the way I'm trying to make my point is you have the head and you have the heart. Mm-hmm. As a kid growing up, in my head, I knew Anakin and Darth Vader at one point. You know, Anakin became Darth Vader. I knew that. That was what I knew in my head.
Yep.
Yeah. Now I'm getting, and we got it some in the prequels because I think I'm right in the middle age-wise. I have now gotten the full transition into the heart part of that with this series. We have connected the head and the heart together and connected Anakin and Obi-Wan. The back to tank, the parallels with, you know, the two of them. The scene this week with them fighting, seeing what it translates. I sent y'all, I think, the GIF, I don't care how you say it, that was the fight scene from Revenge of the Sith paralleled to them doing the training thing and going back, or the in the temple, in the flashback. And it's the same spins, those moves. This is when those two things get married together. And so now, more than ever, Vader is Anakin, and I feel the struggle inside of him. I feel that desire for vengeance. I feel that desire for anger. So I think I've definitely transitioned. This show has been a part of doing that. It's gone from just being the head to being the heart, is how I'm summarizing it.
And you know, it's interesting too, the Jedi, you know, the Jedi way of, you now understand the decisions that they made. And I'll tell you one that, a connection that clicked for me in watching the most recent episode, when they talk about their compassion, their desire to save people. Because if you watch this transition of Obi-Wan has gone from literally letting a fellow Jedi die at the hands of the Inquisitor to risking everything, including Leia, to help the path. The connection that I made, though, and when it hit me, I was like, ah, that's awesome. Is Luke's decision to leave Dagobah to save his friends, because they're in a position, his friends are in a position where he has to save him. The Jedi Code is like an itch, right? It's, and Luke knew what else he had to do. He knew his training wasn't done, but his friends. And so now you understand why Vader was torturing Han Solo, because he knew that that would send that signal through the Force to his friend, to Luke, his friends are in trouble. And that I love this expansion of what the Force means and how it works and the connections between it. And those are the kinds of things that this show is giving us if you're patient and you watch for it. You know what I mean?
Wow. That's beautiful. Pete, that's amazing. And it also... It also, in some capacity, will end up paralleling, you know, like I said earlier, tying all this together, where Return of the Jedi, you get Obi-Wan returning as a Jedi, or that moment of, you know, Obi-Wan once thought as you did, which Vader says to Luke on Endor. So that is so cool. I never thought about it that way.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's hold on to Brian's question and we'll make it part of the conversation, because I think that there's, I think these, all these things come together. Before we go into it, let's, among us, what questions still need to be answered? There's Brian's question about why does Vader think that Obi-Wan once thought as you did? Why does Vader believe that? There's also the question that Scotty asked, why is Luke the one that needs to be chosen, right? Because you also
and have... I like that one because I haven't thought about that one. That one hasn't hit me. And honestly, I think part of it is because in the lead up to this series with the trailer, we got the teases of little Luke, and all we've gotten so far is that, well, until the end of this episode with him asleep in his bed, that's all we've gotten of little Luke. So we, you know, a misdirect, which I'm a big fan of a good misdirect, because little Leia has delivered above and beyond, like, way no question. Pete, you talk all the time about things you didn't know you wanted or needed. Like, little Leia was that. Even from the premiere, those first two episodes, we walked out of that and went, holy crap, I'm so surprised. I really didn't see that coming, because I stay away from leaks and spoilers, so I didn't know that was possibly a thing. I should have, just by, you know, common sense, there's two of them, but I didn't. But with this and with the Luke thing, that's not one I had considered until Scotty said that just now. For me, the one that I throw out there is the conversation between Vader and Tarkin on the Death Star, you know, the presence, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi here, surely he's dead by now. Like, there's something in that moment. We're heading towards a faking a death. We're heading towards, like, this isn't over to the point we get to in 4 yet. There's something else that's still got to happen.
I would agree with that. Scotty, are there any mysteries that you think are still in need of answering?
So we have the three already. Like you said, Obi-Wan once thought as you did. He's more machine than man now. And then now we've got that direct quote of what was just stated by Nick, you know, with the Tarkin thing. The fourth thing, and this is not anything to even nitpick over, it's kind of what I said earlier, you know, we need to know, it is kind of answered this episode, but I think they're going to be very more straightforward. This next episode was, when I left you, I was with the learner, now I am the master. That is paralleled in this episode, and it's kind of answered, but like, how do we make it, like, how do we really make it hit the next one? And like, I don't know. I think you're right. A faking of a death might be a way. Like, how do you do it? Like, how do you pull this off? And then, of course, one of the biggest cliffhangers of this episode that no one seems to be addressing, even last night, Bombadcast didn't talk about it that much. It was the idea of, what's Reva going to do whenever she gets to Luke? That's terrifying to me. Is that the second season? Is that what we kind of end the whole climax with? Because he's the three lines were twin, and then it was Tatooine. And then Owen.
And she knows Owen because of that courtyard, that whole thing.
So there's a lot that needs to be wrapped up in this final episode, and I would hope an hour can cut it, but we also got to get Leia back to Alderaan. You know, we got to see that too. They'll show us that, I think. But damn, it's a lot. It's one of the few season, and I'll be real with y'all here, because we've talked about this before privately. Mandalorian, every episode felt like a new adventure, and that's how it's written, right?
Yep.
Even season one's finale felt like a little bit of a new adventure with the death of Queel right after, and you got IG-88 saving Grogu and handling all that. And that was almost kind of predictable that the things were going to fall the way it was. But with this show, I mean, you've got a true cliffhanger and you've got a huge storyline, Deb. You have to wrap up, to our knowledge, in one episode. So that there's a lot to be expected with next week. There is a lot of stakes at hand, and we know how the story ends. That's the one weird thing about this. We want to see how it ends. We want to see how this happens.
Yeah. So before we try to figure out and predict how those questions get answered, I want to throw out there two things. First of all, I don't want a second season. I don't think we need it. I think that is literally too much of a good. Now, I know we've heard Hayden literally say, "Hey, I'd love to come back and do this." You know,
and Ewan has said it as well. The GQ London GQ article, he said, "You know, I'd love to do these every now and then."
Yep.
Wow.
But I don't think I don't want it. And I also feel like, and this is going to sound crazy, but I believe that the talk of a Reva spinoff is a misdirect. Sure. I don't think she survives.
I don't either.
She can survive unless she joins the path, and you know, that's cool, but I also don't need a series about the path. I think that's kind of cool where it is. Of course, I also said I didn't need an Obi-Wan
series. I would say you didn't need Mandalorian or Obi-Wan.
So. Right. But that being said, I think it's a misdirect because I think Reva has to sacrifice herself, you know, and she'll see something about the path, which, you know, because Obi-Wan even brought it up to her, saying, you know, there's families in here. Do you want the same thing to happen to them? So she will get to that point where she recognizes that she got close enough to Vader, couldn't defeat him, but the way to defeat him is to let Luke live. And maybe it goes so far as Obi-Wan telling her the story, telling her, listen, Luke is the new hope. And Luke needs to survive. If Luke does not survive, you don't win and neither do I. And the galaxy is lost. And maybe that's enough to have her sacrifice herself. As I posted on Twitter a couple days ago, if Obi-Wan is holding you, it's too late. I feel like she dies in his arms.
So, yep.
Yeah.
Also,
there's a history there.
There is. We also talked about this too. I think, Nick, you had either just disappeared at this point, I don't remember. But Qui-Gon also is a thing we have to tie up as well in this next one. You know, that's one of the biggest cliffhangers of Revenge of the Sith, is that exact line. Yes. You know, your master has found a way to communicate through the Force, you know, and he's like, Master Qui-Gon. That's one of the coolest moments. And, you know, it makes sense why he can disappear in A New Hope then, you know.
Yeah. Well, and we know he gets there because we get it in the Certain Point of Year book. We get it in the Master and Apprentice story. Like, we know it gets there. And we know it's been, I mean, there have been enough seeds planted just in this series, you know, at the beginning when he's saying, Master Qui-Gon, come to me. Like, is that the thing that helps Obi get his groove back? Is that the thing that, you know, for the showdown of the century, as it were, a rematch of the century, it's definitely there.
Yeah. That's the one thing. And like, we obviously haven't. We've gotten Liam Neeson in Clone Wars. We were getting him in Tales of the Jedi. We got him in The Rise of Skywalker. But this show has made me emotional, and I think it's made a good bit of us emotional watching it. But would be the moment that would maybe set me over and could possibly convince me to say this is the best Star Wars anything of all time if we did get the return of Liam Neeson and it was done like with so much respect, because that's the direct tie to The Phantom Menace. And I don't know if people, and you know this, people of your generation and Nick's generation, people even younger than me, don't like The Phantom Menace in some capacity. And this would be the thing that goes, you know that movie that people, you know, used to poo-poo on? This is why it counts. This interaction you're about to witness on screen is why it counts, and you should go back and watch it. And that's something I'm pretty passionate about, you know? It's one of the movies, like Attack of the Clones got its love. Revenge of the Sith got its love in this thing. We even got that flashback to Jake Lloyd as Anakin that got its love. But this is where, if Liam Neeson does indeed show up, voice, full body, this is when you go, The Phantom Menace now has had its glory moment. You know, it's cool.
My prediction is that it ends with Qui-Gon telling him something and showing up, because
you didn't need me kind of thing. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of this is his trial, right? Oh, here's a thought. Obi-Wan never completed the trials.
Yep.
Right?
His trial was his death.
This was
his trial. He was a battlefield promotion.
That's right.
Yep.
So that's maybe right. This is his trial. And I agree. I think it would be a huge missed opportunity, and it would be a very strange. So far, this is one thing people are not giving the show enough credit for, is this is brilliant storytelling. We talked about at the beginning with the way the lightsaber battle mirrors the episode itself. No frayed ends have been left untaken care of, which is amazing because so many shows throw stuff out there, which is why I'm afraid of a second season. I'm afraid of a game time decision to make a second season where they are going to say, you know what, let's just leave that out there. Let's not tell
based on the fact that they've gotten good numbers.
Yeah,
that's part of the problem.
I think that would be a horrible decision because what they set up, you know, I remember leading into the series, Deb Chow saying, if it's the right story, it would make sense, but we have created a story that is whole from top to bottom. And if they leave open ends for the sake of a season two, they're doing a disservice to what is a phenomenal story so far.
Can I share something as relates to the writing? And I heard this on another podcast and I didn't realize it because I didn't look it up. You know, of course, Joby Harold has been a part of the writing of the entire series.
Yep.
Deb Chow has directed all these. I do love the consistent vision that we've gotten, and we've talked about that with the sequel trilogy. We've talked about that with, you know, The Mandalorian. Honestly, is a different thing because The Mandalorian is that serialized TV show that can change from week to week. Adventure of the week, Alien of the week, X-Files of the week, whatever the thing is, with a still connecting thread, whether it's the Smoking Man or whether it's Moff Gideon or whatever the thing is. It's driving the bigger picture, but it can still go week to week. We've been told from the beginning, Obi-Wan is basically one big movie broken into six parts.
Yep.
And I think we've seen that, and you can tell. You're exactly right, Scotty. So Joby Harold is listed as the main writer. Deb Chow is the main director. This episode this week, the co-writer is listed as Andrew Stanton. And if you know Andrew Stanton, that's Pixar. That's a big name in writing in itself, and it brings in these different elements. There are some co-writers in the other episodes as well, but I thought that the Andrew Stanton one stood out a lot just because of like Pixar. I think he was a part of The Incredibles. You know, there's some really good stuff in there, and Wikipedia is right. A Star Wars story.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah,
that's interesting.
It is interesting. And I wonder, and now I have to go back and look at who wrote which other episodes. And
but I've got you.
There's nomenclature right, for that.
Real quick,
for
I'm
like,
sorry.
For like but Writers Guild stuff. Like they have to list it a certain way.
Right.
Uh-oh. Now Scotty's frozen. This has been the cursed episode.
This is our show. All right, Pete. Episode 4, Joby Harold and Hannah Friedman.
Okay, what has she done?
And she's also in part 3, so I'm going to hit what she's done. Kenobi, she's listed as a writer on the Willow series. Oh, wow. Wet Hot American Summer in 2015. Trolls, The Beat Goes On, Hit the Road, Roadies, About a Boy. So let's go back one more. All right, so that's part 3. Part 2. Joby Harold, Stuart Beatty.
Yeah. I think the next one is all Joby Harold, if I'm not mistaken. Pretty sure the whole next
Pirates of the Caribbean, Collateral, Interceptor. And then if we go back one more to part 1, Joby Harold, Hossein Amini. Hossein Amini has shown up in a couple parts. Drive. Which is it Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, that's an incredible movie.
Snow White and the Hunters.
Okay, movie.
Two-Face of Genie, 47 Ronin, Drive, Shanghai, Killshot. So there's some good writing in this. Again, Andrew Stanton, of course, has got deep Pixar connections. Joby Harold is sharing some of that love, spreading some of that.
I've just been so impressed with the themes of all of it. Like, it's all been very thematic, right? And, like, don't get me wrong, we get the, like, deconstruction of the Joseph Campbell, you know, the hero myth of in Mandalorian, but this is just so next level, y'all. This is like unbelievably dense. And like, sure, it's one thing to write the theme and to write like this analysis of it, and to see it happen on screen, but to direct it and like some shot for shot stuff, like Pete brought up earlier, Ahsoka on the bridge, Anakin on the bridge. I mean, that's shot for shot. Like, she did so much research when it came to making sure this thing was shot like a Star Wars, or even in particular.
The parallels to little Leia's costumes, to grown Leia's costumes.
Yes, the hairstyle.
That's another great one. Yeah.
God, like, who would have ever thought? And like, I don't know, there's a way to do it. And this is the only series so far where I feel like, I may be wrong one day, but this is just the only series that is really, to its core, like, conveyed Star Wars in every possible way. Like, thematically, I mean. I'm not just saying, like, Mando. Mando looks like Star Wars. It acts like Star Wars. It's got Star Wars beats. But this is just, like, the emotional part of Star Wars, the deeper thematic part of Star Wars is just so on point with the show.
Yeah.
I can't even believe I'm saying it, because I didn't think they could achieve it. I really didn't. It's such a – you've got so much to live up to, and they did it. I'm so happy.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What do you expect to see in episode 6? We'll start with you, Nick.
Ooh. I wasn't prepared for you to come to me first, so that's fine. I mean, if we're going to get the rematch of the century, I am not at all disappointed in the rematches we've gotten so far. If we didn't get another Kenobi Vader face-off, I think it still works with those lines of when we last met, I was the learner, now you're the master. Like,
but that's so funny. It's how they marketed it. It's how they marketed this whole show on the Disney Plus date. And you saw it last night. Jerry made a joke about they're not going to rematch. And I'm like, bro, they have to. Like, they marketed, the first thing they ever said about the show was, you will witness the rematch of a century. I'm like, that lives up to a lot.
And today, Star Wars UK tweeted.
Star Wars UK tweeted it. I said it. Actually, full disclosure, behind the curtain, I texted it to Scotty directly, the link to that clip, and I said, please destroy Jerry with it.
Even better, Connor did the same exact thing to Jerry, too, without any knowing about it at all.
It's amazing. So, all of that to say, of course, the rematch of the century is on deck. Yes. But if they didn't do that, I'll be the first one to say I'm not going to be disappointed, because the chess match that has taken place in these last two episodes even shows that Obi-Wan is still farther advanced than Anakin. Anakin's still emotional. Anakin's still the heart. His head hasn't caught up, to flip from what I was talking about earlier. He's a raw nerd.
So even if Vader does defeat Obi-Wan or anything, maybe he's finally reflecting that he doesn't know, or he's still learning. And then by the time we get to A New Hope, he's like, hey, I was still learning back then, and now I got you, which is exactly what happened to him in this episode.
Yep.
He's like, I got you. And he didn't expect that he would give himself up, you know? So
yeah. Scotty, that's really it. I was gonna say, other than that, I just want baby Luke. Like, I would love to see some more of Luke, and I think that's obviously what we've been teased to be heading in that direction. Grant Thiele, we want to see you. We want to see what you can do. We want to see the way you portray this character. And to end in episode 5 with him asleep in his bed portrays or pretends the fact that, you know, he's got to be a feature of it. So give me what you give me. I'm ready.
It's weird, right? And I agree with Nick. This episode, I mean, every one of them, I think the longest one was that first one, like an hour and like 2 minutes. Like, this one has to be either long, or it's got to tell the story quick, because there's so much to tie up. The most importantly, and no one's really talked about this either, and I know it's only been 3 days since it came out, but no one's really talked about the fact that, like, they're on a ship together. Everybody. Leia's there. Roken's there. Christina Ariel's there. I mean, everyone's there. And like,
you're Corey Van Dyke is there.
Oh, wow. So that being said, you have this moment of like, he looks at him and says, and then it's probably one of the best acted moments in Star Wars where O'Shea Jackson, so straightforward, goes, the hyperdrive's now. And he doesn't look at anyone. He looks down. That hit. I was like, that's actually super well done. And then Obi-Wan's like, well, we'll think about it. And then he gets hit with something too. And it's Reva reaching for the comm thing. But the reason I bring all that up is, how do you pull off the rematch of a showdown? I mean, the rematch of Century. Do you go back to Mustafar? Do you go back to, I mean, where do you go? I'm being serious.
So that begs a good question. Does Vader go back to Tatooine? Because I don't think so.
Hell no.
That would drive me crazy if he does.
If it's done well, it'd be cool. But my thing is, it could be in that Star Destroyer, and we talked about this, that one concept art of Macquarie and that Macquarie did of Luke Starkiller and Darth Vader, where it's, the blade behind the back and the gas mask on, and Vader has the saber going down. Like, they could parallel that in its own weird way, where they go on the Star Destroyer and something explodes. Like, we don't know if it's the Devastator. We don't know which Star Destroyer it is either. So it could be just a run-of-the-mill Star Destroyer that Vader happens to be occupying, and they could wreck it. Like, they could purposefully, all those people, abducted, and then they can make a point to crash it or something. I don't know. Like, it's so weird. With the movies, you kind of can see where it goes with trailers, but at this point, truly, all trailer footage is done. Yeah. Boom.
So I'm always wrong with my predictions, but what I'm writing in my head and setting myself up for disappointment as a result, which I've done with every single Star Wars, I think that, because it's so funny, because a lot of people aren't even talking about that O'Shea Jackson line, which is so important. Oh, hey, you got away, but there, and he says the hype goes down, and they're right behind us.
Yeah, and literally.
And it's like, okay, so this episode will open with them being pulled into the Star Destroyer, much like the beginning of A New Hope.
New Hope.
Oh, right? That's cool.
And Obi-Wan will have to protect everybody. And by doing – and again, Vader's still just hell-bent on Obi-Wan. He doesn't care about the rest of the ship.
Nope.
So I think there'll be some sort of O'Shea Jackson will lead some sort of rescue of the ship, and I think Obi-Wan will be left for dead. And then I think somehow
all he wants is Obi-Wan in the end. That's all he wants. Right.
Right.
And that's evident. Yeah. And maybe, this is not very Vader of him, but maybe he'll pull the ship in and be like, bring Obi-Wan out and we'll let you go. And that would be, that'd be crazy. I don't think that'll be the case, but you're right. Like, we're going to have like three storylines. You're going to have Obi-Wan and Vader.
Which is the way Star Wars movies end, by the way. Remember, all Star Wars movies end. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Three storylines. Yes. Damn. That's good. So you get Vader Obi-Wan rematch. You get Roken trying to get them the hell off that ship. And then you get Reva and Luke like, Pete, you did it.
So maybe so I think my fear, though, and this is honestly my fear, as I was saying before about the show creating a second season, is I feel like that Reva thing was a reshoot so that she shows up at the end to get Luke, and then that's season two, right? And I don't want that to be the case.
What I would like, and this is something I hope Star Wars does one day, and I know they're going to. I know Stranger Things will end up doing this too. The most genius way to approach this stuff now, and this is, if I was an executive, I would think this way, is to make money, unreal money, is to get the finale premiered or the climactic moment premiered at a theater. I'm not saying Obi-Wan Part 6 should be shown in a theater. What I'm saying is, you build this whole story, Mando season 3, Ahsoka, whatever else is going to be down the line, and you build that up to, in the climax of this is going to be in a movie theater, and you all show up to the theater and you see it. If they did a Kenobi movie where you got to see some wild stuff again, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But a part 2 or season 2 would be kind of odd because of the direction the show has taken and how it's been constructed. You're right.
Yeah. So it's I think Reva going to Tatooine might be the thing that makes that connection with Qui-Gon. I think so. I think, I always talk about how, You
wait. Alan,
yes.
What if Qui-Gon stops Revan? That would be that. I'm a little drunk, by the way. That would be. I think this whole thing is sake. That would be so wild, Pete Futzer and Nick. That would be wild, right? If Obi-Wan never got the help from Qui-Gon, but instead Qui-Gon goes to stop Revan from doing that. It would just be it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Sorry.
It certainly would be.
It's Star Wars subverting expectations, which again,
right?
Disney does a lot of that. Yep.
So I think it ends with him finally connecting to Qui-Gon, and yeah. I would love it if it's Qui-Gon. He's sitting in his. Well, also, how does Obi-Wan end up in his hovel versus the cave?
His house, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So there's that. I do think that. Obi-Wan is going to try to turn Vader as part of the fight.
Cool.
I think because remember, Obi-Wan once thought as you did. So at some point, he needs to say, I mean, he started it with the what have you become? And so he feels Anakin in there. So is there a scene or a conversation where he tries to turn him? This isn't you, Anakin. I've seen it. Maybe it's a similar thing to where, you know, Luke and Vader were fighting. Maybe he tries to do it that way. And then he's defeated. So I don't
know. And see, part of it too, Pete, is like, do we do the Ahsoka thing where the mask gets cut off and you see Anakin's red eye in his face? Like, you've got Hayden in this. Like,
yeah.
You could take advantage of that same exact thing, and it's apparent they are looking at Clone Wars, and Dave has been special thanked in every episode. So, yep. Like, at least to me personally, I look at that and I'm like, can they pull off, or like maybe Obi-Wan slices and just cuts off chunk of the mask, and you see that broken, destroyed Anakin, and then reason with him? I would love something like that in live action. Normal fans that haven't seen Rebels would go freaking nuts.
Right.
Cosplays, all of it. People would go insane for something like that.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the issue is, I think it has to end with Obi-Wan having the upper hand, whatever it is.
Yep.
Because of that line, when we last left, I was the learner, you're the master. Now like that whole thing from 4, that's it. Like everything else, like, and I think the Star Wars and Disney Star Wars and new Star Wars does a good job of recognizing, okay, we have to get to here, but in between here and there, there's a bunch of stuff we can do. And that's what we've gotten in this series. Let's run all over the place. Let's go to Dayu. Let's go to, you know, Jabim. Let's do X, Y, and Z. As long as we end up in this place, the rest doesn't matter.
You're right.
And I really like that. So, you know, I whatever this ends on, Obi gets his groove back. He has the upper hand such that when they meet again, and the quote, you know, in New Hope, Vader says, he is here. Tarkin says, Obi-Wan Kenobi? Why do you think so? Vader says, a tremor in the Force. The last time I felt it was in the presence of my old master.
Cool.
Tarkin, surely he must be dead by now. Vader, don't underestimate the power of the Force.
God.
It's all laid out in front of us.
Okay, so
all
here's what happens.
All you have to do is do something in between that lands you in that spot.
What about they're fighting on the Star Destroyer? This is just pure stupid speculation right now, but they're fighting on the Star Destroyer.
That's what we do here.
Things are blowing up, and Obi-Wan flies out into space, right? Wow.
Leia style
ends up
on, and Kanan style
ends up on Roken's ship and takes him back, because that's never understanding the power of the force. He believes he beat him.
Yeah, and I know a bunch of shitheads that'll lose their mind over that, but let's go. Right. I'm fine with it.
Maybe it happens somehow as Vader's about to beat him, or no, he's about to beat Vader. Something happens because he's still, you know, he's got his groove back. And when I left you, I was but the learner. So maybe he is beating him. Something happens. He gets pulled out of the space and Leia's his way over to Roken's ship, or maybe Reva saves him in hyperspace. I don't know.
But
that could happen. See, we have no freaking clue. And that's what's so awesome about this show.
It is.
You
know? But if I can throw one shout out to the chat.
you met
Brian Finnessy said, I want to see a scene of Beru dumping Reva's body in the middle of the desert, then coming back and calling Luke to come down for breakfast as a call to New Hope.
Luke.
That would be, look, and it may be.
Brian gets it. Brian gets it.
Brian could be right. Owen could kill her because he does have that line about Jedis and A New Hope, doesn't he? He said, he says, Nick, you might be able to verify me on this one, but I'm pretty sure he's like, no, he talks about Jedis in this show, vermin. He treats them like vermin. Yeah. And he might straight up kill Reva because you know she's wounded. You know she ain't walking the way she normally walking. That confidence is gone.
How great would it be if she limps her way like and she figures out to get to Luke and it just he just shoots her point blank.
No, it's funny. Dude, get this. That
would be awesome though.
No, what's cool about that is that it doesn't appease any of the fans that would want Vader to kill Reva or for because you know, we've got this side of fandom and Pete, you know, often engages with that side of fandom in a way to kind of counter them. But it's the side of like she should get killed by Vader because you know she's an African American woman and she's got a funny haircut. Like that's literally how some people think. But how gangster would it be if it was Owen would be the one to be like, nah, you threaten me, you're not gonna come near my property, I'm killing you. It gives no one satisfaction. No one is satisfied by that. Not even Vader or the Grand Inquisitor. No one is. You pretty much go, oh, he's not playing around. If Obi-Wan were to come back, boom. Shot in the face. I mean, that's how you do it.
The other thing that has to happen, and then we can start to wrap up, is that Skyhopper has to end up in Luke's hands.
Yes, that's it does.
Skyhopper to it. You don't throw that into the show.
No.
And not have that come back. You don't throw into the show reaching out to your master, Qui-Gon, after you were told at the end of Revenge of the Sith that you need to commune with him to learn these secrets. Those two things, I guarantee, will happen. Everything else is completely up in the air.
Yeah. And like you, Pete, I'm terrible at predictions, but I'm going to go ahead and say that's where we get our hello there.
Yeah.
I hope both of you are wrong, not because I don't want that meme to show up again, because I want the Grand Inquisitor to be the only one that gets a chance to say it. Because his hello.
Hello.
So funny. I love how it's delivered. Hello.
Hello.
Like, it is so sassy.
I said,
oh my God.
I said earlier today, the return of the Grand Inquisitor has big Dr. Evil energy.
Yes. But it also, I think it was either someone in Pink Milk or I mean, maybe it was Jared. I don't know who it was. But someone says it has big RuPaul's Drag Race vibes. Just like so catty, so freaking just like. In your face, and he's so, and the best is hello third sister, and then he says the lines, and then he goes, and then does he say goodbye, Grand Inquisitor, and he puts the badge on and walks away. I'm like, what is Vader?
He's such a douche.
He's such a douche. And you know what's funny?
Honestly, it's got some good Donald Trump, The Apprentice energy, you're fired.
But also too, part of it's like you kind of get this character. He was left for dead. Rupert Friend, who I think most of us, when he got casted, if you saw that first image, you were like, oh, I don't know how this is going to work. But talk about if he shows back up in anything else, he is the most, to me, anticipated character I could expect from this era now. Like if he's an Andor in some capacity, like just how he does that, those scenes is so well done.
Yeah.
Hello, third sister. Just like, Jesus. Awesome.
It's amazing. So Scotty, we started this episode with all the technical difficulties. We didn't even ask to like get your website,
I'm sorry.
Where can people find Scotty J. Rowe and the Bombad Cast?
So not to allude to anything, but not also to get anyone too excited. Obviously the Bombad Cast, we've worked Pete, Nick, and myself and several other podcasters have worked on a big event called Podathon before. We've done it twice now. I don't know if the third one's in the air. I'm not quite sure yet. But I can tell you this much with all honesty. If the people in the chat want it, voice your opinions now and maybe we'll make something work. But it's not.
If you want Podathon, tell us in the chat right now. We'll be
waiting. Because I've worked with these two guys, not just on this. I mean, they've both been on Bombad. We've worked. I honestly, Pete, this is how bad it is. Yeah. If you were to tell me how many times I've been on Pete's show or Pete's been on my show, or we've done shows together, I really do think it's in the 30s.
It probably is.
Well, because he did BTBD Live together. Like, worked with him. I've worked with this guy so many times, but the guy below me just shows up and shit. And I don't even ask him to do that. So, like, it's weird, right? Like, I love both of y'all very much. And, of course, all of our people that are viewing live now also join on Bombadcast. But if you haven't, you're new to this, you're new to me, Bombadcast every Thursday. And I will say we're going to be recapping Kenobi next Thursday as well, much like these two gentlemen next Friday. With Adam Frazier. So I'm excited to have his big show on Bombadcast. But also one thing, we have our 1 year anniversary tomorrow. Bombadcast has been 3 year anniversary.
One year
on our old channel. So it's kind of an
amazing
cool moment. And one other thing, July 1st, we launch our Patreon. So you'll get early access to that. Probably next week if you are in the chat here live or if you come and tune in next Thursday. That being said, I can't thank you both enough for being on here. I love you both very much. You are both very good friends of mine. I talk to these people more than I talk to my family. Maybe more than I text Katie. And I'm not kidding. But all seriousness, I'm lucky to have y'all as friends and to do this stuff. I really am. Any answers on the Polython? Because I can't see the chat on my end.
We have
lots of support for the podcast.
Make it bigger, better, and better.
Ooh.
We need
more gold leader.
We need more gold leader. Yep. Jeff says yes.
Oh, all right, gold leader.
Yes.
All right. So I guess we'll have to do a podathon. So keep your eyes and ears open on the socials, and we will do podathon 3. We will.
You heard it here first.
We will do it. So
I did not know about this. Okay.
Well, it doesn't take much to get me to do it. There were like 4 people that said yes. So I was like, yeah, sure. All right.
So
but it's always for charity. It's always amazing. And yes, it will be bigger, better, and better than ever this year. So, well, Nick, what do we have going on ATGcast this week?
Let me do some ATGcast plugs. Yesterday, we dropped a new episode of Podcast of the Wheels with our good friend, the lovely Claire Stribling. Part 4 of the Phantom Menace canon study. We did such a good job. She did such a good job.
She was awesome. She was amazing. Yep.
And I've said this a couple of times, peek behind the curtain. We recorded this episode before Celebration, and I had mirroring tonight, Star Wars. It's like poetry, it rhymes. Horrible technical problems. So bad that I asked her, could we, record this episode again? She was very kind to say yes. So we re-recorded earlier this week. The episode dropped yesterday. I love what Claire has to say, especially about Anakin and Shmi at that point in The Phantom Menace. So go check that out. And then also coming up this next week, it will be a ATG episode, and you have Chloe the Lightsaber Queen, who
I know
from social media.
Yep.
She had a video up tonight. She was working on the reverse Ahsoka training grip. But there's a lot of great stuff in that episode. I tuned in the background while you guys were recording earlier this week.
Yeah.
And there's some fun stuff to come out of that. So check out ATGcast online at the website, atgcast.com. You can find all the stuff you need.
Awesome. Well, Scotty, thank you so much for hanging out with us. This was fun. We'll have you back anytime you want to come on. And Nick, may the force be with you.
Always. Stay bombed.